Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here. Thanks, Jim.
Mark, do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Let's do a 50% offer for those who want to sign up to VRTrader.com. That's Victor Robert, VRTrader.com, and the promo code, when you go to the promo code section on the order form, is 2022 half off, 2022 HALFOFF. And we have about five or six different newsletters, including my book, all kinds of interesting stuff on the screen. So pick the one that was interest. Of course, one of the hot ones now is the blockchain letter, with Bitcoin running and with the new ETF starting to trade, having just traded today. That is Thursday for the first time in history. So that was fortuitous for us, since we had a bunch of Bitcoin and crypto names on the list in that newsletter. Also, I want to disclose that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. I am a news reporter and market letter writer.
So what is going on with Bitcoin? What was the reaction?
A little volatility up and down, but, you know, pretty much holding its own. I'm more of the view that, you know, you buy the rumor, sell the news. You know, it's been a lot of anticipation. We had a nice volatile day in trading on Wednesday, and as the news came out that it was going to start to trade on Thursday today, So as a trader, you know, I sort of rang the register, so to speak. You know, we had a nice profit in GBTC, which was on paper, of course. It's our model portfolio, and it's, you know, it's they claim to be the largest of the Bitcoin ETFs, and a whole list came out. We put this in our newsletter. If you're interested, if you sign up, but you could probably research it elsewhere, the ticker of about a dozen or so. New ETFs that suddenly are now tradable that just focus on Bitcoin itself. So pretty big news. It's been in the works for a while. You and I have talked about it on the radio show. And for months, it seemed like a fait accompli to me, with Larry Fink and BlackRock sort of behind their deal. Their symbol, from what I see on the list, is IBIT. IBIT is the BlackRock version. And I guess that's going to become either the second most active or the most active of the Bitcoin ETFs. You know, what can I tell you? It was coming. Other cryptos have moved in sympathy. Ethereum, which is the next biggest name out there, there's rumor now there's going to be ETFs created for that. And despite all the skeptics about, or the fear that there's going to be a digital coin, or governments may or may not allow them to trade, and on, I'm not too worried about that. When the largest money manager on the planet, BlackRock, is behind one of them with their political influence and everything else. So, you know, China may not like it, or other places, but that's the trend, you know. So anyway, that's sort of the big news. And it really is big news, because, you know, the Bitcoin, you know, provides an alternate currency, you know, and with the problems we have with currencies in the world, stability of governments, the transferability of money, the stability of the banking system, you know, a whole list of issues out there the fact that we have an alternate currency, and assuming it continues to exist and should exist, is something investors want. And that's why it was created, and it's grown over the years. So the value of the Bitcoin will appreciate. And who knows how high is high? I mean, the darn thing was trading between $60,000 a coin down to about 15 or 10, depends what year you want to look at. It started at about 50 bucks, you know, that was a 2008 or 9 back there, or 10, I don't recall the exact date. I mean, when I mentioned on these shows 80,000 or higher is a possibility in a couple of years, it's now around 47,000. That may be a conservative number. I mean, I hear numbers up to $1 million for a coin. And one of the reasons is there's a limited number of them available. When it was created with a finite universe. So if the demand is that great, you know, irrational exuberance could occur as well. So like anything else, it's volatile. This is like gold or real estate, or I guess holding the TSX index or the S&P index, or you know, certain commodities or offshore international funds or Japanese stocks, you know, just a piece of the diversified portfolio. And the fact that it was created is now going to encourage money managers, institutions across the board around the world to have a piece of this. Now, what piece they'll have, you know, what piece do they have of gold funds or any other sector is something you've got to look to each individual money management firm out there. So whatever that percentage is, they'll allocate to Bitcoin, and the ETF provides that now. So that's a buying, you know, incentive and a support incentive for that. And, you know, over time it will appreciate, you know, but the volatility we've seen in the last, you know, decade or so, you know, may be tempered a little bit now because you have this ETF and you have an ability to trade it. Because when you buy the ETF, the managers behind the ETF have to go out and buy the Bitcoin. So if there's more and more allocation to it, it would seem to me the stability of the price of Bitcoin would be greater than before. So I don't want to discount that there's a sell-off. I mean, even the stock market, you know, has its sell-offs, no matter how bullish the factors may or may not be. But so there's always volatility. But I think the fact that so many ETFs exist now, and the legitimacy of the Bitcoin, which is, you know, as you probably know, you've been doing this for years. I mean, it was laughed at. It was like a joke. We mean a Bitcoin, you know, what value does it have? What's behind the coin? You know, you can say what's behind the U.S. dollar. Well, just the full faith and, you know, presence of the U.S. government. But, you know, the dollar itself is worth less and less. We've seen that since the Federal Reserve was created back in 1913. It's lost about 98% of its value because of mismanagement, its government spending and inflation and everything else. So you can argue, what's behind it? Well, it's the faith of those who believe that it's an alternate currency. And if it continues to appreciate, that's to the detriment of the dollar and to other currencies. So, and of course, the gold bugs don't like it. I mean, you know, this has become like the new gold. I mean, why buy gold? I mean, gold didn't do this. I mean, didn't gold go from $200 a coin to 60,000? I mean, you know, imagine, you know, gold, you know, went from a couple hundred dollars up to 2,000. You know, Bitcoin did much greater percentage, greater than that. And it is an alternate, supposedly. But it's not something you can physically keep in your possession. So here's the question, how do you do it? You have the ETF, so you have a brokerage account, and you have it indirectly owned by yourself, I guess, because it's an ETF, but you don't physically have the coin in your pocket. And some people say, well, you got to go actually buy the Bitcoin and then transfer to a private wallet, which is a security measure when you buy the Bitcoin itself on various currency crypto exchanges, you know, like Coinbase or Uphold. Others that exist out there, that you actually go and buy the Bitcoin itself, and then people argue, well, is it really safe there? And you got to transfer to a protective wallet, and there are experts you can go to and articles I can post in my blockchain newsletter about how you go about and do that. So there's an alternate way of owning the Bitcoin than going through the ETF. So there's different thoughts about it. And maybe a little verbose here on the subject, but that was a big story for the week, and probably, in my opinion, for the last year.
What has this done to the stock markets, or do they react to news like this?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think they're most of the commentators, you know, are sort of in amazement, I think. You know, Wall Street created it because it was competition to Wall Street. You know, Wall Street doesn't like things that take money away from stocks. You know, so they don't love gold because, you know, gold is an alternate way of investing, and you're not buying the Magnificent Seven. You're not putting your money in the stock market. So the World Gold Council a couple of decades ago created the ETF for gold, and they call it GLD. So that brought it into Wall Street because now it became a stock. It's an ETF like the Bitcoin we just talked about. So Bitcoin's out there. We don't like that. I mean, we want to control some of that money flow. So we create an ETF, which they just did for Bitcoin. Wall Street didn't like real estate. Well, if you put your money in real estate, you're not in the stock market. That doesn't help the big brokerage firms. It doesn't help Vanguard or Schwab or Fidelity or any of these places, plus the money managers. So let's create REITs, real estate investment trusts. So you can buy real estate indirectly through ETFs that control various sectors of the real estate market, you know, whether it's warehouses or storage facilities or commercial real estate or even housing. So those were created. So, you know, if there's something out there that's competition to Wall Street, Wall Street ultimately embraces it, which is what we just saw with the Bitcoin situation. So, but, you know, you could argue, well, I don't want to own an ETF for real estate. I want to own the actual real estate. I want it in my name. I don't want it in the form of a security. And Bitcoin, I want to own it myself. I don't want it in the form of an ETF. And gold, I want to actually own the gold. I don't want to have it in an ETF for gold. That's a logical way to go. So your personal preference. How much do you trust the brokerage community? How much do you trust the firms that you're in? Now they're going to be around, you know, forever, and you don't have to worry about, you know, them disappearing and your security, your stock or your ETF is not there anymore versus holding the physical commodity, again, whether it's real estate or gold or a wallet holding your Bitcoin. So it's personal preference. Depends how paranoid you are. I tend to get pretty paranoid myself about the markets, but that's just me personally. Hope that's covering your question a little bit.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with crude?
It's in a little bit of a correction. I'm surprised. Yeah, actually, crude, I think it was up during the day earlier and then sold off today. It's in this corrective phase. Cycles say we should be bottoming now. It tends cyclically to bottom in January and rally from there. We had a nice pop in natural gas the last couple, 3 days because of fear of the cold weather and demand for natural gas. I'm a bull because of the overall perspective I have that it's going to go much higher over time, but it's in a corrective phase now. So as a trader, you got to decide if you want to pick your shots here or wait for some real confirmation of a bottom. Certainly if there's some political event, you know, something gets more serious. I know we have the Red Sea blockage going on and the cost of shipping the crude oil, and there's economic concerns. If the economy is slowing down and less demand for crude oil, and a lot depends on geopolitical political events out there. So we're holding some of the oil stocks that we like. Some pay nice dividends, and my favorite is still Occidental Petroleum because of the Warren Buffett presence. But that's a long-term comment. You know, it could take 2, 3, 4 years until you see significant gain.
Gold, is it still going to hold up now that there's an ETF for Bitcoin?
Yeah, that's a good question. Gold itself is also, as you mentioned, what I thought about crude oil is also in a little corrective phase, and it does look weak. And the dollar seems to be trying to rally a little bit, the U.S. dollar, and that's not helping. And the other big story really is that many of the shares, you know, like a big name like Newmont Mining, which is the biggest gold stock, pays a nice 3 or 4% dividend. I mean, it's really acting poorly on the tape. We can argue that there's other factors that are influenced in the mining industry, you know, the cost of energy and labor and political problems or strikes and other things that could hurt the companies and so forth. But the bottom line is the shares have been, with a couple exceptions, have been pretty much underperforming. Cycles say it should go up. If I had to stick my neck out on the chopping block, I would say within a year or two, we could see, you know, anywhere from 2,300 to 2,700 in gold. That's priced in U.S. dollars, of course. What would trigger that? That I can't say. There could be an outlier event, which I've been sort of thinking and looking for. We seem to get these every year or two. Last past year, you know, we had the banking crisis, and of course, you know, if you had before that the COVID, and then, you know, we have all these geocosmic events like the Icelandic volcano and all kinds of crazy stuff that could suddenly upset the world. And but, you know, for the most part, you know, I think the currency devaluations, the government irrationality on the spending, the fact that BRICS nations is out there trying to create an alternate currency, Japan's going its own way, the way it wants to do things in terms of managing money and interest rates, the uncertainty about interest rates here in the U.S., the uncertainty about the political outcome. You know, we can go through all kinds of lists of areas that, you know, could move money into the gold market. So on a technical basis, it hasn't confirmed that the little correction is over. It might drop back into the 1900s for a while. We're just going to have to watch it. But, you know, the lesson of gold here, the last 5 years, you get these $300-$400 advances and then a $300-$400 correction and then back up again. It's happened 2 or 3 times already. And that's why I sort of like the trading viewpoint on the darn thing. You know what I mean? We talked about Bitcoin being volatile. Well, that's even more volatile, I think, than the gold's been. But yeah, I'm a bull, but it's like anything else. You know, are you trading it or are you holding it? So my gut feeling here, it's short-term negative, and hopefully that'll turn around here and we'll get some technical confirmation, but I wouldn't be surprised to see it somewhere in the 1900s before it turns.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure. I would just like to mention quickly, the markets are closed Monday for Martin Luther King Day. For those of you who are out there are not aware of that, we have the World Economic Forum next week, Jim, in Davos, and that's going to create a lot of news about you know, the biggest risks facing the world in the next 2 years, which is what they're going to cover at that conference. So that should be real interesting to see what kind of coverage we get out of Davos next year. And then finally, you know, the U.S. government funding deadline is coming up for the national funding. I think January 19th is the first date. That's next week, and February 2nd. So is the Congress going to screw up here in the U.S. in terms of getting getting funding for government spending or not? And is that going to create some type of pit for the stock market here or for the markets in general? So got a bunch of stuff coming up the next week or so that we need to watch.
We are living in interesting times.
We are. Thank you so much, and talk to you next week.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Find us on X at How Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
comments made on HowStreet.com Radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.